Because we have Shravanam, Kirtanam, Smaranam. So this remembrance is, some way or other, if someone establishes in his mind his continuous relationship with Krishna, this relationship is called remembrance. Very similar to Sambandha. Yeah. Madama. And then one more little spot, right as we're going to about to start, is under qualities of Sri Krishna, number 15, is clever. And we'll see how Krishna is very clever in these pastimes. A person who can perform various types of work at once is called clever. In this connection, one of the gopis said, "My dear friend, just see the clever activities of Sri Krishna. He has composed nice songs about the cowherd boys and is pleasing the cows. By the movement of his eyes, he is pleasing the gopis. At the same time, he is fighting with the demons like Aristasura. In this way, he is seated with different living entities in different ways, and he is thoroughly enjoying the situation." So Krishna can do more than one thing at one time. And we'll uncover some of the different plots and subplots that are going on in this situation as we read this, the next four or five verses. Okay. Thank you. You want to do the Sanskrit, please? Yes. There's a lot of intrigue going on in here. Oh, the button's not pressed. Just do the translation, and then, because there's no purport to this one, and we have four or five verses. So I can read the English part sometimes. Translation to text 30 is, "Those footprints of that special gopi greatly disturb us. Of all the gopis, she alone was taken away to a secluded place where she is enjoying the lips of Krishna. Look, we can see her footprints over here. It is obvious that the grass and the sprouts were hurting the tender soles of her feet." So the lover lifted up his beloved. Text number 31. Okay, yeah, just do this, just one time, and then we'll read. We could say it all together, too.
Imani adhikamagnani padani vahato vadho gopyaha pasyata krishnasa bharankrantasya kaminaha atravaropita kanta pushpahetor mahatmana.
Which translates as, "Please observe, my dear gopis, how in this place lusty Krishna's footprints were pressed more deeply into the ground. Carrying the weight of his beloved must have been difficult for him. And over here, that intelligent boy must have put her down to gather some flowers." And the purport to this verse is the word indicates that even though Sri Krishna was not officially married to Radharani, he had in fact made her his bride in the Vrindavan forest. According to Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur, the gopis use the word kamaniya here to indicate the following thoughts: "We actually love Sri Krishna, but still he has rejected us. Therefore, his private dealings with Radharani prove that this young prince of Braj has carried her away because of lust. If he were interested in love, he would have accepted us instead of that cowherd girl Radharani. These thoughts reveal the moods of the gopis who are rivals of Srimati Radharani. Of course, the gopis who are her direct allies were jubilant to see her good fortune. Next verse.
Atra prasunavachayah priyarthe priyasakritah prapadakramanayete pashyata sakale pade.
Just see how in this place dear Krishna collected flowers for his beloved. Here he has left the impressions of only the front part of his feet because he was standing on his toes to reach the flowers. Next verse, 33.
Kesha prasadhanam tvatra kaminyaha kamina kritam. Tani chudayata kantam upavishtam iha dhruvam.
Translation for 33. Certainly, Krishna sat down here with his girlfriend to arrange her hair. The lusty boy must have made a crown for that lusty girl out of the flowers he had collected. And there's a purport to that verse. The acharyas explain that Sri Krishna wanted to decorate Radharani's hair with the forest flowers he had collected. Therefore, they sat down together, facing the same direction, with Radharani between Krishna's knees, and Krishna proceeded to arrange her hair with flowers and made a flower crown for her. He coronated her as the goddess of the forest. Thus, the romantic young boy and girl played and joked together in Vrindavan. Text 34.
Rimetaya chatmarata atma ramo pikhanditaha kaminam darshayandannam strinam chaiva duratmatam.
Which translates, Sukadeva Goswami continued, Lord Krishna enjoyed with that gopi, although he enjoys only within, being self-satisfied and complete in himself. Thus, by contrast, he showed the wretchedness of ordinary lusty men and hard-hearted women. Purport. This verse directly refutes the superficial criticisms materialistic people sometimes direct against Lord Krishna's pastimes. The philosopher Aristotle claimed that ordinary activities are unworthy of God, and with this idea in mind, some people declare that since the activities of Lord Krishna resemble those of ordinary human beings, he cannot be the absolute truth. But in this verse, Sukadeva Goswami emphatically points out that Lord Krishna acts on the liberated platform of self-satisfaction. This fact is indicated here by the terms Atmaratna, Atmarama, and Akahanditita. It is inconceivable to ordinary people that a handsome young boy and a beautiful young girl enjoyed romantic conjugal affairs in the forest moonlight can be engaged in pure activity, free from egotistic desire and lust. Yet Lord Krishna is inconceivable to ordinary persons. Those who love him can easily realize the absolute pure nature in his activities. One may argue that beauty is in the eye of the beholder and that therefore the devotees of Krishna are only imagining Lord's activities to be pure. This argument ignores many significant facts. For one, the path of Krishna consciousness of developing love for Krishna demands a devotee strictly follow four regulated principles: no illicit sex, no gambling, no intoxication, and no eating of meat, fish, or eggs. When one is free from material lust and rises to the liberated platform beyond material desire, one realizes the absolute beauty of Lord Krishna. This process is not theoretical. It has been practiced and completed by many thousands of great sages who have left us their shining example and their brilliant teachings concerning the path of Krishna consciousness. Certainly, beauty is in the eye of the beholder. However, real beauty is perceived by the soul's eye, not by the lusty eye of the material body. Therefore, Vedic literature repeatedly stresses that only those free from material desire can see the beauty of Lord Krishna with the eye of the pure soul anointed with the love of Godhead. Everybody knows the Premanjana. It naturally echoes in their mind when we read that. It may finally be noted that upon realizing the pastimes of Lord Krishna, one becomes free of all tinges of sex desire, a state of mind that can hardly result from meditating upon material sexual affairs. One final note, the conjugal pastimes of Krishna perfectly round out his qualification as the Supreme Absolute Truth. The Vedanta states that the Absolute Truth is the source of everything, so certainly the Absolute Truth cannot lack any of the beautiful things of this world. It is only because of romantic affairs exist in a pure spiritual form in the Absolute that they can manifest in a perverted material form in this world. Thus, the apparent beauty of this world is not absolutely rejected. Rather, beauty should be accepted in its pure spiritual form. Since the beginning of time, men and women have been inspired to poetic rapture by the art of romance. Unfortunately, romance in this world usually leads to a crushing disappointment brought about by a change of heart or by death. Although we may first find romantic affairs beautiful and enjoyable, they are eventually spoiled by the onslaught of material nature. Still, it is unreasonable to totally reject the concept of romance. Rather, we should accept conjugal attraction in its absolute, perfect, pure form as it exists within God, without a tinge of material lust or selfishness. That pure conjugal attraction, the supreme beauty and pleasure of the Absolute Truth, is what we are reading about here in the pages of the Srimad Bhagavatam. Om Ajnana Timirandasya Janatanasa Lakaya Chaksur Unmilitanyena Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha Jayatam Surito Pangur Mamamanda Matirgati Matsarva Svapatambojo Radha Madana Mohano. Quite wonderful, all these particular pastimes. I thought of an interesting exercise that we should do first as we're reading this to bring us up a little bit, because we get so much gyan, especially this type of information that we're hearing, that it would be nice to connect some of these things. So I thought I'd start off with a very simple question. It sounds simple, but it's not simple. What is good and what is bad? Since these points are going to be discussed a little here, what is good and what is bad? So at this time, somebody can raise their hand. And, oh, Yeah, you have a good or bad. Yes. Matura.
What is good is worshipping, remembering Krishna. What is bad is forgetting Krishna.
Well, you get a good mark on the test, but that wasn't what I was... I was, in one sense, asking that, but I was asking more personally. The most basic way that we distinguish for ourselves what are good or bad. That's a nice... That's a good answer. In this point, it's a little theoretical, but I understand that that's what we've accepted with our intelligence. But I'm trying to say more basically, what do we feel is good and what do we feel is bad individually? Oh,
back there.
Oh, you already said something, son.
Okay. If we hurt others or ourselves, it's bad, and if we please others or ourselves, it's good?
Well, that's actually very close to what I was getting at. Okay, I was... Oh, Pran has his hand.
What will cause any action or activities that causes me feeling happy, that is good.
Ooh.
Anything causing me suffer is bad.
That's exactly what I was looking for. Pain is bad, happiness is good. And then our intelligence has to figure out which, how to achieve that. So the Vedas, actually, goal is to make sure everyone is happy. And the very first part of the Vedas is be happy by sacrifice. So sacrifice, even though it starts in the Karmakanda section, it says you should be happy according to what makes you happy. But as your intelligence grows, then you say, well, fruitive activities is not really the best point, like the touchstone and Sanatana Goswami. There must be something else. So then the jnani, he thinks, well, if I can stop producing so many things that are causing me pain, that'll make me happy. And then, so then we go higher and higher, and then we also notice relationships. They're... Anandamoya Vyasa. We're hardwired to always find happiness, to look for happiness in relationships. Even though our experience may be contrary, that this doesn't usually work, and we make up different never again and those type of ideas and calluses on our hearts and stuff, we still can't stop because that's our nature. So we're made that way. Why are we made that way? We're, in the colloquial term, we're a chip off the old block. We're parts and parcels of Krishna. And Krishna enjoys relationships, pararamita, that he also enjoys relationships. And then what makes... So this, the idea of relationships kind of connects to love. Love is what people think will make them happy. However, the love in this world is perverted. It's not real love, just like Tex, you had pointed out to me that in Bhagavad Gita 3:37, it says, the living entity comes in contact with the material creation. His eternal love for Krishna is transformed into lust in the association with the modes of passion. In other words, love of God becomes transformed into lust as milk in contact with sour tamarind is turned into yogurt. So that's a difficulty. But we understand that this love will bring us happiness. And then, of all the type of love, now we understand that real love is called prema. So just like Krishna is the Suridam, he's your best friend, he's also the Suprem. He's also the best Prem. And in our heart, this takes some exercise. This isn't such a simple thing. But you have to think, what does the word worship mean? Just like we can get the right on the test. You know, you're given a test, write down, you know, what worship means. Okay, worship means service, worship means... But that's a different kind of answer. That comes in each one of our hearts. There's something that we have to connect with what worship means to us. What do we actually hold in our heart to be worship? See, because most of the time these words, they go undefined in, you know, it's been captured, you know, by the religious, oh, you go to church, you go someplace and you worship there. But this type of worship that a devotee has, it's much more defined than just getting it right on the test question. It's how to go inside and find out what it is that you actually worship, because this process is a process of introspection and connecting our heart fully with the process that we're following. So we have to do this exercise, and I don't know whenever, you know, we generally do things because someone asks us to do them, so I guess I could ask. All right. So everyone to take some time within the next day, week, month, year, lifetime, sometime to go and think what it is that find your heart, because they're also a little hard to find. And then when you find out what it is that we worship, we worship this quality of divine love, that supreme person. We worship the supreme personality of God. That's I can't help that. Is that just a coincidence? They spell in the same way, you know. So we're finding that out. And then it says that Krishna is the Lord of the heart. So only will that make sense at that point of what the Lord of the heart is, the Lord of my heart, the Lord of your heart, the Lord of everyone's heart, what Lord means, how we're actually being controlled all the time by this desire to have that perfect loving exchange. And that's what we worship. So we have to connect all those internal parts in ourself. And it's done by the introspection at some time or another, but I don't know when that time comes. So I'm bringing it up in class. So now when we review these particular points, because could you go on? Well, it turns out, but there's a maybe you could just read it. You could show them where it is. I had it a part highlighted, how Prabhupada was giving a lecture, and he had mentioned specifically this rasa dance in a lecture. So the activities of ISKCON, the activities that we're practicing here, are to get us so we can actually enter into the rasa dance. So this part right now and the next thing that I'm going to read will make all these things come together very... Did you find it?
Yeah, got it.
Oh, good. Could you read it?
Krishna consciousness means to practice Krishna consciousness while we are in a material body. And after giving up this body, we enter into the spiritual realm for factually participating with Krishna. This is Krishna consciousness movement. So if you want to enter into the Rasa Leela, if you desire like that, so you love Krishna in that way as the gopis, then you will have the same perfection. There is no difficulty. It is not at all difficult. Simply you practice.
So how wonderful it is that we are here listening about this, because for us, this is, in this age, we're worshiping Krishna by hearing the Srimad Bhagavatam. 10.14.3. Somebody know 10.14.3? Ajita Jito. Yeah. So we know we worship Krishna by studying the Bhagavad Gita with our intelligence, and we know that Krishna becomes conquered. What's the second verse? Avarujite. That Krishna becomes captured in the heart by studying the Srimad Bhagavatam. So this paying attention, submissively agreeing and hearing this every day, is the process that we're following. And in fact, how to properly hear, that's also explained 1.3.44 in the purport. Prabhupada says that you have to hear with rapt attention, but you can't pay rapt attention unless you're pure in your mind. And you can't be pure in your mind unless you're pure in your eating, sleeping, mating, defending. So Prabhupada gave us all the directions of how to hear the Srimad Bhagavatam, specifically coming to these chapters, which, and specifically these verses that are qualifying us and understanding. Because Krishna, when he does something, he doesn't just do it for one thing at a time. He's covering, he's situating everyone's heart, directing the wanderings of all living entities. I mean, that's inconceivable, how he's telling the ant which way to go. He's telling every living entity which everything to do. And at the same time, he's a person, and he's working with each one of us. So we're here hearing about this Rasa dance, went through all the cantos. So we've started off, we're not this body. It started with 2.12 Bhagavad Gita. Never there was a time you didn't exist. You're changing bodies. You're going from youth to boyhood to old age. And then we're going to get another body. We understand the process of controlling the senses, performing sacrifice for Krishna's pleasure, becoming happy by that, getting knowledge of how happiness comes from service as opposed to from sense gratification, living within the spiritual consciousness, becoming detached from the body by the words of the spiritual master. We're no longer under the subjugation of the material mind demanding sense gratification, which propels us into another material body at the time of death, yam yama pismar bhavam. We're listening to the instructions of the spiritual master, which don't produce another material body. They're free from karma. And by dedicating our life to serving his mission, he's being pleased and gives us his mercy by which we advance. So, and now we've gone through all the different parts. So Krishna, he's known by his different names, by his different activities that he does. So specifically, we're attracted to his mercy. And Jagannath, he's smiling. You ever notice Lord Jagannath has a big smile and his eyes are wide open? And he's one way that Krishna manifested that particular form was remembering his Vrindavan pastimes. He went into ecstasy. And that ecstasy, Lord Chaitanya, when he saw Lord Jagannath, he also remembered that ecstasy and he passed out. So Jagannath, the Jagat, the whole universe is being controlled. So Prabhupada pointed out that this pure love for Krishna is intrinsically integrated into everything. So as we become free from upadis, the designations, and the mind is purified, we can actually see how Krishna, because we're parts and parcels of Krishna, everybody's, well, Krishna says, in order for there to be love, there has to be choice. So he can say, would you like to serve me or would you like to be me? Ooh, I could be you. Well, not really, but you could try. So there's the choice. You could serve Krishna or you could try to imitate Krishna. So in this world, we're poorly trying to imitate Krishna and we're in the Purusha mentality. But once one is free from the designations, he can just see Krishna's different potencies acting everywhere because he's no longer seeing karma isolated. That's all he sees is in the mode of passion. He just sees the person as the body. He sees Krishna. He sees a living entity. He sees the eternal nature. He sees material nature, eternal time. And he sees, so that eternal time, he can see Krishna in everything. And then everything, instead of it being just Maya, it can act as a udip. Then everything becomes the lamp, the fire to remember his relationship to Krishna, where we started off, from the nectar devotion, remembrance. And then, of course, remembrance, if you go into remembrance, there's five stages of remembrance. It proceeds interrupted in the beginning, and then it's uninterrupted. And when it's uninterrupted, you become absorbed in it. And that absorption, it can be into meditation. So, and it doesn't break. Just like we can be in the ocean of, let's just say that the Goswamis, they're swimming in this ocean of devotion, nectar of the ocean. They're swimming, but sometimes there's aquatics that live deep within the ocean, but maybe we're just bobbing, or maybe still in the rivers, you know, but bobbing. But when you develop your gills, you have to develop a special breathing mechanism to breathe within this ocean, get your substance, and just, and the third verse of the Bhagavatam says, relish this Bhagavatam. There's something special in relishing it that goes to a type of worship. We're actually, that's another aspect of worship, is relishing Bhagavatam. Because that, how pleasing is that to Prabhupada? How pleasing is that to Krishna? So the fact that we're all here day after day means that there's some flavor going on. And that flavor, that's a whole nother topic that we could go to. That's our shelter, is that flavor. Param jisva navardante. You may be restricted, but the taste remains, because as long as one has a body and mind and senses, the taste for sense gratification remains. But how do you tolerate it? Because Krishna says a lot of stuff in code. He gives you just the gist of it, where he says one has to learn to tolerate the senses without being disturbed, the happiness and distress. But there's a lot in that. You know, does humility come before tolerance or after tolerance? How do those two work together? But it's all an introspective channel of how to be internally situated. And ultimately, he just gives you all these hints, because you have to put together out of your sincerity of purpose to love Krishna. It's so confidential. That's why it's confidential, more confidential, most confidential, guyam, mysterious, rahasya. There's all these aspects, because he can't be told. You have to find Krishna in your heart. He's good at playing hide and seek. So you have to look for him. And you got to really try. And then he'll give you a hint, getting warmer, which is also deepana, is flame. Okay. There's a lot of subtle jokes. I was thinking that this part that we're in is, it was written about, this is a wonderful little booklet called Sri Prema Samputta, which has been translated into the Love Locket. And it's a really funny, practical joke that Krishna's playing on Radharani. But in the essence of this, the Love Locket, the specific locket part that's being described, is the key to understanding this pastime that's going on here. So I just thought it was fascinating when I saw it. Nagaraj is supposed to give the class today, but he's ill, so he called me up and asked if I would do that. So I said, certainly I have to assist him. And then when I saw this point, because I remember when I read this in here, how fascinating this was, because it explains the essence of why this is, which is essential for us to understand, because we're also in line. It's a little inconceivable at this time, but for the Rasa dance, this is a, it's built into the potency that we're receiving by chanting Hare Krishna under Prabhupada's shelter by Lord Chaitanya's mercy. This is, it's included in our package. You know. Okay, so here's Radharani is explaining to Krishna, who is incognito. She's Krishna is hiding from Radharani in a form of a heavenly woman, heavenly goddess, who came down and was complaining about Krishna to Radharani, even though it's Krishna himself, he's playing a trick on her. He's very tricky. So he's playing this trick on her, and he's saying that Krishna is really not a proper lover for you, Radharani. Look at all the stuff that he does, and look how he left you on the Rasa dance. And then she says, no, you don't understand. Here's the actual reason why he did that. So that's a bring us up to a little bit of where we are here in the story. So, okay. Let's see. I'll just start here. So we're going to come in a little bit in the middle because of the time element. Otherwise, I don't mind. We can go. Actually, when I was just in 3 weeks in Puerto Rico, and it's a small temple, and everybody doesn't have so much to do. They sometimes kept, they were visiting. A lot of the people were visiting. The cooks still, they had to go cook, but they had a speaker in the kitchen. So they said, could you talk a little bit more? And I says, all right. You know, so they they actually took it till 12 o'clock. And I was saying, this is so nice. This should be a policy everywhere. Because okay. Krishna can expand time. One of the first things in the spiritual world, they eliminated time. Because it's always getting in the way of hearing this thing. Their life, was it 10-9? Matchitta matpranam. So, by beholding the boundless, incompatible, burning fever in Radhika's feelings of separation from me, they all I skipped ahead a little bit. What's happening here is that right around now, we're going to find out that Krishna leaves Radharani. So then when the rest of the gopis catch up and they see Radharani's condition, that's a scene that practically no one could tolerate, seeing that separation that Radharani was experiencing when Krishna left. I had to think about that for a second. All right. I thought I read this yesterday, but evidently I didn't mark it clearly. So they thought, my girlfriends have now been enjoying this great festival in this fathomless ocean of ecstatic nectar, but instead are burning miserably in feelings of our separation. Why must this be, and what can I do about it? I thought, if he and I waited for a few moments, then my sakis, who were searching all over the forest, would quickly catch up with us. Concluding thus, I said to Sri Krishna, O beloved, I am unable to go any further. Let me rest here for a little while. But the crest jewel of the clever lovers immediately understood everything about the thoughts of my mind. Therefore, he who is unparalleled in his extreme cunning nature, who is matchless in his ability, to relish divine mellows, quickly deliberated within his own mind. If I take Radhika with me to wander in these gardens, then what? That will not make me happy, because this Radhika can feel the mental anguish of her girlfriends in her heart. So that's the first part. And thus she will also become very sad. If I wait here, then all these girls will catch up with us and look at me with crooked eyebrows. And they will lovingly chastise Radhika for a long time, lecturing her in different ways. If this happens, then the mood of tasting amorous, mellow sports will be completely spoiled, and they will all return to their own homes in a huff. Thus, there'll be no chance of enjoying the rasa dance today. So here's the problem that Krishna's facing right now. And we've seen how he's handled problems in the past, like when Lord Brahma stole the cowherd boys. There's a serious problem. But how he figured that one out, he's figuring this one out too. He's really good at these problem-solving skills. And if the rasa dance is not performed with all these gopis, with the prankish prayer that Radhika previously submitted unto me will not be fulfilled. She had asked, "Beloved, can you simultaneously embrace thousands and millions of young gopis with your two arms?" There's a challenge, huh? These are the kind of challenges. So Radharani had asked Krishna, "Can you do this? Can you simultaneously embrace thousands and millions of young gopis with your two arms?" All right, there's another problem he had to figure out. So he says, "I'm desirous to see such a feat." He says, "If you will kindly satisfy my request." So, first, if I will leave Radhika's company for a very short while, thereby proving this poor, helpless girl to be faultless while taking all the blame myself. I will thereby remain obliged unto Radhika. At the same time, will cause all the gopis to become affectionately concerned for her welfare in every way after they find her crying alone in the forest. You see what's going on? He says, if I don't leave, the rasa dance is going to be spoiled. So I got to bring this back. So here's how. Because I have to satisfy this desire. We saw how Aranyakashipu, he thought he figured out something, but Krishna knows how to get around all the details and still get it done. So this is another one of those qualities that he's figuring out how to take care of Radharani's request to embrace millions of young gopis at the same time. That'll be satisfying her. How to have the gopis all line up properly with Radharani, so the proper mood can be reestablished so the rasa dance can continue. These are some of the situations that are no problem for Krishna. So here's how he's figuring it out. And we're so fortunate that this is being explained to us. That practically speaking, there's only a couple of handfuls of people on the planet that are properly prepared to be able to understand this. Just see how Prabhupada's made us so fortunate. This is just incredible. Okay. By beholding the boundless, incompatibly burning fever, Radhika's feeling of separation from me, they will all be drowned in a great ocean of sheer astonishment. This will cause them to give up their own love pride and realize that only Radhika is absolutely the foremost lover of all. Okay, because ultimately we're assistants. We want to assist these. Number six, the Guru Vastika prayers. Nakunjayuno Radhikirasidai. So this is our line. This is Srila Prabhupada, expert at assisting the gopis. These proud girls will see just as Radha is out standingly best in the mellows of divine union. Similarly, she is also best hundreds and millions of times over in her feelings of separation. The conjugal mellow is supremely nourished by these two moods of union and separation. When the gopis behold Radha's condition of separation from me, they will become embarrassed, considering her to be topmost of them all. After I leave the gopis, they indignantly said amongst themselves, "Alas, how Hari is simply overwhelmed with lust, and he has left us all to make love with this Radha, even though we are more loving than she." Then they'll become very upset and had cast, then they became very upset and cast much blame towards both us But now, when they find Sri Radhika terribly suffering alone in the forest and are scorched by the exalted peak of her blazing fire of loving separation, surpassing theirs millionfold, then the gopis will consider their own love to be like an insignificant candle compared to her great flame. My desire is that there will be unity established among them all. Everybody likes that one. When will the love will be tested by your cooperation? So it seems that goes on. In this way, my wish will be fulfilled. So that's Krishna saying, my desire is that there'll be unity established among them all. In this way, my wish will be fulfilled. Thus, at that time of sporting the Rasa festival, when they all are dancing in a circular formation, they will see Radhika brilliantly shining alone with me in the center. Then they will not be jealous of her in the least. Just as people apply a pungent ointment to their eyes, it stings and makes the eyes temporarily numb, but then afterwards renders them clear and brilliant. Similarly, a well-wishing friend sometimes purposely gives another friend an apparent difficulty, but later results in the enjoyment of a wealth of happiness. So that's the time's up, and I don't know if there's any questions or comments, but a couple of rasa seekers have stayed. Okay, we have a couple of questions. So one right there. Okay.
Krishna, thank you. That was a wonderful class. When we hear about some gopis who are happy for Radharani and others who are jealous, you know, we see the gopis to be the highest form of devotion, and we ultimately want to be like the gopis. So when we see that some are display what we might see as negative qualities, how are we to understand that? Is it kind of like Lord Brahma, who he is the highest devotee, but then he got bewildered, so these things just happen within the spiritual realm? I'm just a little bit confused about all that. How are we to understand these negative qualities in the gopis?
Well, one quick, and that looks like Pran has something too, that, you know, Krishna consciousness has six different tattvas to understand. That was an easy verse for me to remember, so I got it. There's the Krishna tattva, and there's the bhakti tattva, and then there's the prema tattva, sara. Those are the essence. And then there's also the bhava tattva, rasa tattva, and lila tattvas to get a complete picture. So when you have all those six functioning, then until then, you really do have to suspend the thinking about that. You know, it's we don't have the capacity until those six tattvas are functioning to correct, do it. So that's generally why it's taken so many chapters. And like these verses, they're like sutras. You can explain the whole philosophy practically in each word, the whole Bhagavad Gita in each verse. Everything's included. So it's like a dictionary. Sometimes they have a big, what they call them, a 50-cent word, but it takes a whole paragraph or two paragraphs of other words to explain that one word. So these are very advanced, which means you've already had a lot of prerequisites to get to these. And if you jump ahead, then there's a problem. There's a possibility of making mistakes. So it has to do with the rasa tattva and the yoga maya. And I think Pran, he's got something he can help us.
There's a verse in previous chapter 48, I believe. Tasam so bhagyaman, very famous verse.
Okay.
Prasamaya prasadaya tatra eva antardhya. Why did Lord disappear? If you have that, you can read the translation. It answers his question. Prasamaya prasadaya, two things that Lord wants to do.
Chapter and verse?
Previous chapter 29,
49, 48. 49, 48.
So this two reasons. One is that Lord very affectionately wanted to display why the gopis' love is the highest. In the mundane world, when the opposition comes, contrary personality characteristics appear, our love disappears for each other. In the absence of the Lord, when he gave them apparently some pain in separation, their love increased such a degree to the highest, there's no chance of diminishing anything. Rather, it increases more and more, opposite to the mundane love. So Krishna wanted to put broadcast, so he created this. This is one. Another point also, that everybody came to Rasalila with their own mind, and Krishna, out of his own affectionate nature, he gave them a sulkiness. That's why that verse says, Sovhagyamanam, the first word, if you say Sovhagyamanam 48, that he gave a sulkiness that he is the most astonishing, most beautiful personality, and he gave completely himself to each gopi, that each gopi felt, wow, he is under my love, control. I have completely him. But that's in reality, there has to be another stage, that Radharani is supreme, it's not established there. So Krishna now gave that, so they felt, wow, I really have love, so much so that I control him. He's dancing according to, as I'm dancing, and laughing, joking, glorifying each other. Then Krishna gave that fortune, then he disappeared. In his absence, they will pour out their deepest love for him, which was never experienced or known to the world. That is very important. So Krishna created that. And at the end, they will come to the point that that girl who he took is must have been a superior position than all of us. And they will accept Srimati Radhika's position, and they will adore, and they will worship, and they will literally take the contiguous of her love. Because Prabhupada, in Adi Lila chapter 4, there's a famous verse, Eshe prema dhare radha nitya ekali amar madhurja prema ashade shakali. And Prabhupada translates that it is Srimati Radharani alone who tasted Krishna's entire love, beauty and others. So what about the rest of the gopis? Ah, they will get today, I mean in this Rasila, that they will, when they accept Radharani's position, then they will be contagious, and through her, Krishna will relish with everyone. And Prabhupada wrote this, you know, one letter, you remember in Veda Base, to, what's his name, the Ratha Jatra devotee? Jayananda Prabhu. He said, this Indian man wanted to give a deity of Krishna. Srila Prabhupada writes that you please tell him that we do not worship Krishna alone. We Gauriya worship Radha's Krishna. So Prabhupada is in that mood.
It's so nice, you know, you can hear about this. I had one experience that I just have to share when I was when I was in Puerto Rico, and so I was making a little experiment. I was just depending on Krishna. I've heard that you're supposed to do that, 3 and 4, depend on Krishna, always be feeling under his protection. So I had this, it was Ekadasi a week ago or so, and we went on this big Harinam, a wonderful Harinam, about 50 people, and the streets were lined. It was really a good reception. They don't usually have stuff, but everybody came out from all the different people you don't see. And we're having this big Harinam, and it was going on longer than it was supposed to stop. And it went on like 2 hours longer than it was supposed to stop. And it was Ekadasi, so I wasn't fasting completely. I know there's a lot of fasters here, but I fast from the beans and grains. So I had a little thought that I'm a little hungry. I was wondering I'll go to sleep. I'll wake up the next day and I'll break it. So we went back to the temple, and when we walked back and everybody's, oh, Haribo, we made a feast. And I said, you got to be really careful what you think, you know, because I was thinking, Krishna, he was so kind. And then what the feast was, she made this pizza on a codicil, but the crust was yuca and potatoes, and she bakes that first and then makes the pizza on the top of that crust. And I was thinking, it was, and I was just so embarrassed to think, oh, Krishna, you know, I had that one little thought that, gee, I'm a little hungry, you know, and pizza is one of my favorite foods. So, and it was at the temple, and it was just so wonderful. So Krishna's also doing that with each one of us. You know, he knows what every one of us is thinking, and he's interacting with us right now also. You know, but he's stealth. He's a little hard to find, you know, because that's just the way he works stuff, you know. He's yes. I do. They had a plate thing for me because I was a little late. but I was embarrassed. I was thinking, Krishna, there's six kinds of loving exchanges. So prasadam, offering, even prasadam itself is just so wonderful. So one of the things is that you can remember either being a mother when you were small, when your mother, she would like to see you eat. She would say, eat more, eat. You know, if you were real skinny, I don't like to eat. They didn't like that. They like to see good eaters. You know, and I was never a very good eater, but I've worked on it a bit now that there's prasadam. But anyway, thank you so much. All glories to Prabhupada. Hare Krishna. I was going to read about Jayadeva Goswami.